I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the final edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
From the makers of The Italian Job and Ocean's 11, it could be the greatest heist of all time, stealing millions, maybe even hundreds of billions of dollars. And the ragtag gang behind it had just one thing going for them, one thing that would help them get away with it, that the crime they planned was so incredibly boring.
So we're not going to rob a bank?
No, we are banks. We're the biggest banks in the world, and we're just going to manipulate an interest rate. And then we're going to make investments based on that artificially high or artificially low interest rate.
I've already stopped caring.
Regent Pictures presents LIBOR.
Okay, you'll get a phone call from a guy who's setting the London Interbank Offered Rate, and he'll ask what kind of interest rate you, a bank, could get if you borrowed money from another bank.
I want to fall asleep right now.
Then you tell him the rate we give you, which is a little too high or a little too low. And if enough of the other 15 banks also give false numbers, then the interest rate will be set artificially high or artificially low for banks borrowing from other banks.
Kill me.
Just about all other interest rates in the U.S. and Europe are based on the LIBOR rate.
This is so boring.
So we, the banks, make investments based on the interest rates that we, the banks, artificially manipulated.
Oh, God.
Who are the victims? Everyone. No one. Crap. I don't know.
Gentlemen, you're under arrest for colluding to manipulate the world's most widely used benchmark for short-term interest rates.
Oh my God, stop talking.
LIBOR. It's probably really, really important.
Welcome to the final edition election night coverage. We'll be with you all night with our entire news staff waiting to report on anything whatsoever.
We'll wait for returns, analyze the returns we don't have, and speculate wildly on election results that are just going to happen the way they're going to happen no matter what we do or say.
Let's head over to Dan Jatico at Romney headquarters. Dan, what's it look like over there?
Carol, Governor Romney is still campaigning, even at this late hour. Right now, he's going around demanding that President Obama apologize for something or other.
What a tireless candidate.
Since nothing is happening, let me ask you a hypothetical question. If Governor Romney lost, how do you think he'd react?
He would probably be disappointed.
Do you think he would cut himself?
It could be.
Another hypothetical. Do you think Superman could ever get cancer?
Sorry to interrupt, but we've got to check in with Jane Cooper at President Obama's headquarters. Jane, is there any news?
No. Everyone is standing around looking at each other, waiting, waiting. And there it is! Vice President Joe Biden just made a racist joke about Norway.
Whoa, we haven't been at war with them in a while.
Not since the Vikings. Thanks, Jane. Now, let's go 250 miles above Earth's surface to our correspondent, Luther Robinson, in the International Space Station. Luther, what do you see from up there?
The Earth looks blue and far away.
Thanks, Luther. We also have correspondent Will Chandler at the Ron Paul headquarters. Will?
The Ron Paul headquarters is holding its own Ron Paul presidential election, in which the only candidate is Ron Paul.
Are there any results so far?
Yes, as usual, Ron Paul is getting about 10% of the vote.
Sorry to cut you off, Will, but we just got word the Board of Elections in Kenosha, Wisconsin has counted one vote. And it's for Mitt Romney.
And Fox News is calling the election for Romney.
Let's head back to the International Space Station. Luther, what's your take?
From up here, your election seems pointless and insignificant.
Interesting. Now to Madame Sherry Lacroix, who's going to tell my fortune for $5. Madame Sherry, who will win Pennsylvania, and will I ever have children?
I see someone from the lands beyond. Do you know anyone who recently passed away whose name begins with L or W?
Grandma?
Gotta break in, guys. This is Jane back at Obama headquarters, and the president is now speaking.
Oh, is it a concession speech or a victory speech?
Neither. He's just talking about stuff.
No, I don't think the crab dip is vegetarian. I think it contains crab.
This is Dan back at Republican headquarters. Governor Romney is demanding that Obama apologize to the seafood industry.
And I just received news that Washburn County, Ohio, has counted 10 votes. 9 are for Barack Obama, and 1 is a write-in for Ron Paul.
Fox News is calling Washburn County for Romney.
Now, let's check in with Luther in the space station. Luther, how are things in orbit?
We're all drunk, and now we're going to go outside and walk around.
Okay, tell us if you die.
We'll return with 18 more hours of coverage after this.
This is Tony Hendra. You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth.
It's time for Grandma's Song, dedicated to Congressman Paul Ryan. Mocking my pain with his figures, chilling my blood with his words, killing me slowly with his plan, killing me slowly with his plan, ending my whole life with his words, killing me slowly with his plan. I heard he had a good plan. I heard he had some style. So I came to see him to listen for a while. He could have been my grandson with those big blue eyes, but he was mocking my pain with his figures, chilling my blood with his words, killing me slowly with his plan, killing me slowly with his plan, ending my whole life with his words, killing me slowly with his plan. I felt all flushed with fever at what he told the crowd. 1,000 cuts to Medicare, he read each one out loud. And all the folks applauded as he took away their lives, mocking our pain with his figures, writing us off with his words, killing us slowly with his plan, killing us slowly with his plan, ending our lives with his words, killing us slowly. But you know, he spoke as if he knew me in all my dark despair. And then he looked right through me as if I wasn't there. Oh yes, you're less than zero when you're on Ryan Care, mocking my pain, ending my life, killing me, little old me, with his plan, ending my life with his words, killing me slowly with his plan. That Polly's a one-man death panel.
The following portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is made possible by a grant from Smirk Pharmaceuticals.
I take Dirigor epinephamphetamortizone, or Dream. It doesn't do that much for me. It can't take the dog for a walk. It won't fry my breakfast. It can't change the horror of an infinitely blank and hostile universe bent on burying me alive beneath the immeasurable weight of its dark matter. But it does make me feel a little better. For a while. Smirk developed Dream to counteract the horrific side effects brought on by long-term use of its own hypertrophic drugs. And Dream does the job. I do feel a little better. For a while. Then I have to take some more. Ask your doctor if Dream is right for your bottomless sense of despair. In the meantime, here's a few things you should know.
Dirigor Epinef amphotemortizone can and usually will cause dizziness, violent seizures, loss of hearing, uncontrollable vomiting leading to organ failure, hair loss of fingers, toes, and limbs, leprosy, partial blindness, total blindness, massive strokes, bloody stool, seven groups of terminal cancers, morbid obesity, asphyxia, sudden death, not so sudden death, slow lingering death, death by water, bubonic plague, necrotizing fasciitis or flesh-eating disease, spontaneous combustion, and stage 3 syphilis. Be aware that Dirigor Epinef amphotemortizone is a powerful toxin with no known antidote. It should not be taken by pregnant women, non-pregnant women, tall women, overweight women, men of any size, children, adolescents, seniors, pets, any human or non-human living thing, except starving, desperately poor Africans in the course of a large-scale clinical trial.
Look, Dream works. I've tried everything for that overwhelming sense of my own inescapable futility, and nothing works like Dream. You know, Dream makes me feel a little better. And who doesn't want to feel a little better? For a while.
This has been a message from your good friends at Smirk.
The military drumbeat against Iran continues. All the right and half the left are pushing for a third war on a Muslim nation, the first two having been so spectacularly successful. Of course, Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon. The most the International Atomic Energy Agency will confirm is that Iran is enriching uranium at a rate that might someday be used for non-peaceful purposes. But curiously, the International Atomic Energy Agency has never investigated reports that Israel has developed a nuclear weapon. In fact, several hundred of them. IAEA Director General Amano explains.
As we have been repeatedly told to say, Israel has no nuclear weapons program. It is therefore under no obligation to sign the International Nuclear Nonproliferation Agreement. Since they won't sign it, we can't investigate them for noncompliance. All we can say with certainty is that even though Israel has between 200 and 400 nuclear warheads, enough to turn North Africa into a rubble-strewn moonscape and make Europe uninhabitable for centuries, they don't exist.
But if they do exist, wouldn't that be a bigger issue than Iran's possible nuclear ambitions?
No, because while the IAEA has no conclusive evidence that Israel has between 200 and 400 nuclear weapons, it does have evidence that Iran is enriching uranium to levels that might be used at some point in the future for a nuclear weapon. We can state with certainty, therefore, that Iran currently has a non-existent nuclear weapon that may someday exist.
What's the difference between weapons which don't exist and non-existent weapons?
Non-existent weapons are far more dangerous because they're impossible to locate.
As the Americans found in Iraq?
Or as they didn't find.
The Obama administration may have come up with a solution to the challenging question of whether Israel's nukes do or do not exist. White House spokesman Jay Carney.
The president is considering introducing in the UN Security Council a new non-existent nuclear proliferation treaty, which would retroactively authorize Israel to develop as many nuclear weapons which don't exist as necessary, but for peaceful purposes only.
Well, what would be a typical peaceful purpose?
Preventing a Muslim nation from developing a non-existent nuclear weapon.
But why wouldn't a Muslim nation in the region have the same right to develop nuclear weapons which don't exist for the same peaceful purposes?
Because Muslim nations don't know the meaning of the phrase peaceful purposes.
But Israel does?
Absolutely.
The Cold War between the U.S. and the USSR guaranteed relative peace around the world for half a century through a deterrent stalemate called MAD, or Mutually Assured Destruction. Why doesn't Iran have the right to develop non-existent nukes to deter Israel's nukes that don't exist? Wouldn't that ensure peace in the Middle East? Maybe we call it Mutually Assured Non-Destruction.
Little lady, let me remind you of something. Questioning Israel's good intentions isn't just anti-Semitic. It's tantamount to treason. No, it is treason!
Really? Wouldn't you say it was a textbook example of the First Amendment in action?
You kidding? In an election year? Security!
Get your hands off me! Stop! Let me go!
The implied equivalency between Israel and its Muslim antagonist drew a chorus of condemnation from distinguished neoconservative scholars and intellectuals. William Kristol, editor of the Weekly Standard.
Comparing the rights of Israel to those of Iran is like comparing apples to orange-colored feces. Whether these nuclear weapons exist or don't exist, which they don't, they can certainly be entrusted to a nation whose millennia-long history includes legions of great philosophers, eminent physicists, and brilliant intellectuals like myself, who spent their entire lives pondering the paradoxes of existence and non-existence. How can anyone compare this awesome legacy to a nation of camel herders who gang rape helpless farm animals and are ruled by swarthy mullahs whose beards are so clogged with leftovers they snack off them between meals?
Yes.
In his own press conference, a visibly amused Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, developed the theme.
My friends, likening Israel to Iran is preposterous. Unlike Iran, we don't seek to destabilize our region with hundreds of illegal nuclear warheads. Our national agenda is not profoundly influenced by a privileged minority of religious lunatics whom assume antiquated black clothing and funny hats and treat women as barely human. We don't even spell the name of our nation with an I. It's actually a Y. Bottom line, we're good, they're evil. So, enough criticism already. Or we'll make sure you never work again.
President Obama echoed these sentiments.
Let me say that while I welcome healthy debate, I will not take sides. Taking sides is only possible when there are two of them. When it comes to Israel, there's only one, and I've got its back.
The White House later announced that the obnoxious lady reporter has been relocated to eastern Kazakhstan for questioning about her questioning, and that the president would henceforth be known as Barack Obama.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
The following is a message from the National Writing Association.
As we all know, America recently suffered a pair of inexplicable auto tragedies when crazed motorists crashed into public gathering places and ran people over until they ran out of gas. As usual, this has led to reckless and ill-thought restrictions on automobile possession and use. That's where the National Riding Association is protecting your rights to have a vehicle and to use it freely. And the NRA needs your support, your dollars, and your votes, because your rights are not safe. Many people now want what is called a speed limit, in which liberals and other fearmongers would limit your speed, as if the rate of a moving body could be legislated. The planet itself is already moving around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. So whether you drive at 10 miles an hour through a schoolyard or 75 miles an hour, it's really less than a 1% difference. How can that matter or even be enforced? But that won't stop the politicians. Without our efforts, you could lose your ability to drive while relaxing with an alcoholic beverage. Your 5-year-old son could no longer drive your truck or van. You could lose your right to own and drive a tank, or for your 5-year-old to operate the gun turret. The government might even restrict your number of kills. Sure, people say tanks tear up the highways. They say 5-year-olds keep crashing trucks into buildings while clapping and singing. They say dogs should not be trained to operate farm equipment. But freedom isn't free, my friends. And if we allow any restrictions on cars, pretty soon we won't have cars at all. And remember, cars are in the Constitution. Somewhere. Oh, crap, look out!
Hooray! I crashed the car!
GOP vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan's plan to do away with Medicare and the voucher program he proposes to replace it with have been widely ridiculed by medical and satirical professionals. He's under pressure to explain just how seniors will receive adequate health care in a Romney-Ryan administration. The dynamic young congressman has the answer in an exclusive interview with the Final Edition's William Strong and Marilyn Null.
Congressman, what is your dramatic new proposal for replacing Medicare?
I believe, as a devout Catholic, that health, like all our rights, comes from God.
Wait. You're saying health care is a right? Isn't that European socialism?
I said health, not health care. And health, like all our rights, wealth, for instance, has to be earned.
How do you earn health?
Prayer, fasting, good works.
Good works?
Making the maximum profit on business transactions. Enforcing just retribution against those who deprive the unborn of life, like you do.
But in practice, how will you keep seniors alive?
We propose to abolish Medicare entirely. And those stupid vouchers, which were just to fool seniors into thinking they could get cash back from Social Security... Can't believe they let me get away with that.
Okay, but what's going to replace Medicare?
A faith-based system of healing and treatment called MediPrayer. For centuries, churches like my own Catholics, Southern Baptists, Evangelicals, Pentecostals have survived just fine on a reliable system of miraculous cures and medical treatment based on fervent prayer. We need to get back to that truly conservative simplicity.
You expect miracles to work in the 21st century?
How has the Catholic Church survived 2,000 years? Why are the Southern Baptists bigger than ever?
Because they eat at a Chick-fil-A.
MediPrayer providers will bring miraculous healing into the 21st century. They'll work with approved medical professionals to make sure every MediPrayer includes the exact nature and location of a patient's medical condition so that the attention of God or the appropriate saint can be focused with laser-like precision on a cure.
Give us an example.
Absolutely. Let me introduce Dr. Phil Faustus, Professor Emeritus of Faith-Based Oncology at Bob Jones University. Dr. Faustus, heal your patient.
Oh, Lord, shower thy faithful patient, Tabitha McGee, age 64 of Tallahassee, diagnosed with inoperable stage 4 esophageal cancer, in the supremo chemo of thy mercy. Shrink to nothing the 2.4-centimeter malignant tumor in the C3 vector of her squamous tissue with the blazing light of thy divine radiation. Amen!
That cured an inoperable stage 4 malignant tumor?
I'm cured! Praise Jesus! That old demon's flying right out of my windpipe.
See, according to accredited non-indicted GOP medical consultants, MediPrayer cure rates will be competitive with or better than those now achieved by wasteful and inefficient Medicare providers, and at a tiny fraction of the cost, except for Tabitha's copay.
Put the bills in the bucket, honey.
There's exciting research into other similar areas. The efficacy of snake handling in curing Parkinson's. Of drinking strychnine in halting Alzheimer's.
A Parkinson's victim handling snakes?
Why not? Alzheimer's patients drink deadly poisons all the time. Let's spin this positively, okay? Say MediPrayer comes up with some miraculous cures. What about prevention?
Holy pictures and medals, pilgrimages to shrines like Lourdes, Salt Lake City, Graceland, miraculous statues.
Miraculous statues.
Sure, a statue of my fellow Catholic speaker Boehner in Cincinnati City Hall weeps blood every Friday night.
I think that's Merlot.
MediPrayer's most popular preventative protocol? Those lovely images of the Virgin that appear in cornflakes, rust-stained shower curtains and used diapers.
Jesus, this is beginning to sound like ruthless exploitation of the gullibility of the poor and aged.
Hey, I saw an image of the Virgin just yesterday in the 2012 fourth quarter receivables liabilities curve of Koch Industries. Know what? My reflux problem cleared up like that.
Wow, really? I mean, I get terrible reflux. It's...
That's no miracle, Congressman. You're a young, extremely wealthy man who can afford to stay in shape.
You know why I glow with health, Null? Because my heart is pure. And since you brought up Jesus, let me say, MetaPrayer draws its awesome power from the example of our Savior Jesus Christ and his awesome miracles.
Okay, I'm beginning to get into this. This kind of healthcare could be kind of, like, mind-blowing.
As I recall, Jesus didn't charge a penny for curing the sick and the lame.
We don't know that. When Christ returns, I'm sure he'll charge a competitive fee for any miraculous healing.
Why would he?
Because he is an American.
Jesus is an American?
Yes, indeedy. According to our next co-president, my good buddy Mitt, Jesus came to America long ago. It says so right in the Book of Mormon. Jesus is an American.
Cool. Now, I can like Mormonism, finally. Thank you, Congressman. This has been a real honor.
Thank you, Strong, and you, Null. May God forgive your vile and sinful disbelief. Allow me the final word here. My fellow Americans, we are a Christian nation. When you get right down to it, faithful Christians don't really need that much medical care, do we? Why would we, when this life is just preparing for the next? I urge you all to get on the fast track to heaven by repealing Obamacare now!
Hi, this is Jeff Chrysler, executive producer of the Final Edition Radio Hour and mostly incompetent managing editor of the Final Edition website. You know, sometimes we do get letters from some of our readers and listeners, and we like to respond to them because we want to build a community. Tonight, I thought we'd share one of those letters on the air with you and our official response. One of our talented actors, Mr. Barry Lank, will read the letter, placing his emphasis exactly where the writer has placed his all-caps words. This is from Roe Sargent.
To submissions. I have a suggestion. Many of your politically themed articles seem to be anti-conservative. Also, many seem to be anti-God or anti-Christian. One thing I like better about the writers over at The Onion is their penchant for making fun of everybody! Conservatives and liberals! Christians and all other faith systems. Major, mainstream, cults, New Age, Wiccan, etc. Americans and people from other countries. Men and women. Straight and gay. Capitalists and fascists, socialists, communists, etc. Get my point? Anyway, this is just my suggestion for what it's worth. One that might help you develop a larger following.
Dear Mr. or Mrs. Sargent, suck my balls from the left and from the right. This has been another edition, our first edition, of Reader Letters. You can send your letters to submissions at thefinaledition.com.
The Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Antoot Shell, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Rachel Lyon, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Visit now and every day, please, thefinaledition.com for more sizzling satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2012.